and we'd all talk about our missions. Oh. Our Eucharistic mission, going to the nursing homes and the sick, is a large ministry in all the parishes.
Yes.
And if you've ever felt the calling to bring our Lord to the sick and the people that are homebound or even, you know, bedbound, the mission of Eucharistic minister is really very fulfilling, not only for the person you're bringing our Lord to, but it just makes you so humble to think that you've been entrusted to take right. the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord to the people that can't come to him. And I right. thank you for heading that
right.
up, sister.
Right. Well, thank you. I'm privileged to have been a part of that. Two other little things, if I have time, I'll
sure,
just
sure.
add to it. One is, I didn't start the widowed group. Sister Marianne Falby was here, and I don't know if you know her. She's before your time, but she was director of nursing at one time, and somebody asked her. One was a patient, and no, one was a staff person, and one was just a parishioner, I guess, if we could do something for widowed people, because there are a lot of things that couples go to, and they always say it's a couple's world. You know, and I've learned about that a little bit. And so Sister Marianne said, why don't you take it? You know, and I'm standing around not doing anything. So they say, why don't you do it? So I thought, that's okay. We have, over a period of like 20 years now, we have had a minimum of two people at the meeting, and I was one of them. So at one time we had two participants, and we've had as many as 26.
Wow.
So, and a lot of women, and there's one man who I think is going to take over for me. He agreed to do it.
Good.
And I said, I was afraid it's going to be lost. And that's okay. If it's lost, it's over. It's done its time. But I was not ready for that. And so I said, if we could do it, who will volunteer? Well, everybody put their hand down, of course. Nobody wants to volunteer. Who wants to do something they don't know? But this gentleman has been so good, so faithful. And he's come to every meeting. He drinks coffee from the time he gets there until the time he leaves, and he just relates well to women. He just has a gift.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah, he's just so, and so he tapped me on the shoulder. One day in our church, he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, I think maybe I can do that job you're looking for somebody to take. I said, great. So I hope that's going to work, and we will continue once a month. I tried all kinds of things. I had speakers come, and then no parishioners would come. Or no participants would come. Mm-hmm. And then I would not have a speaker, and then all these people would come. And then I finally said, why don't we go out for lunch? Why don't we start it at dinner in the evening? And then I said, I'm getting too old to drive it at night. And they said, good, we'd rather go at noon so that we have it at noon. And it's a wonderful thing. And I don't promote spirituality or religion per se as such, but I think they know it's St. Mary's project, and now I think we made it kind of official, because we're now presenting circulars and announcements and flyers and all that kind of thing, so we promote it quite a bit.
We promote that here on the station too, the HSHS widowed group.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. They really do appreciate it. Some people come right after their spouse has died, I mean very soon after, which I think is a little bit soon to do that, but it's their choice, and some people have come for years, and I don't want to say faithful because it's not a commitment, but they've gotten something out of that, and they know it's sponsored by St. Mary's, and I'm just really pleased about that. The other thing that I have done almost all of my professional life is I've worked in mental health, otherwise known as psychiatry, otherwise known as a lot of different names. But that started in St. John's when I was teaching there, and I guess, we need somebody to do this. And so I had the privilege of going to Catholic University in Washington, D.C. to get my master's degree. And that was a learning all by itself. And then ever since then, including up till this past week, I had my last group. But there, too, I just think it's worth mentioning, because our attitude toward people with psychiatric disorders or mental health issues, a lot of it isn't. Some of it is schizophrenia and manic depression and all that, but a lot of it is just relationships, how to get along with people, how to deal with your family. And then the other thing is drugs, of course, that people are searching for something and they don't know what it is, and they think the pain will go away if they use the right dope, the right stuff, and that doesn't work. So I'm so glad that we, both hospitals here now have psychiatric units, and ours has it was certainly the oldest, and has been very active for a long time. And wonderful people work with that, as well as with the hospice program, which we also have. I worked with that as well. So I've been privileged, and I've learned so much from patients and families that I would not have learned, you know, in any other environment, I think.
Well, you know what I've learned this morning from you, Sister Sham, is you are not afraid to step out of your comfort zone. And
exactly.
I think that's a beautiful way to be in life. Get out of the boat, as Jesus said to Peter, you know, and take the chance, whether it's in psychiatry or nursing, if it's following your calling and now going back home, because I know this is your comfort zone, and going home, back to the mother home, you're saying it's the mother house, it's going to be a little bit maybe uncomfortable for a little bit until you figure it all out. But our prayers and wishes go with you. And,
oh, my
and
gosh,
I want to tell the listeners that if you'd like to come and give your best wishes to Sister Sham, Saturday after the 4 o'clock Mass at St. James Church will be an ice cream social, and Sister Sham will be there to greet everyone and for us to say our prayers for her and to give her a farewell as she heads back to Springfield. That's at St. James after the 4 o'clock Mass this Saturday. And I hope to see some of you out there, and I know we will. There'll be a lot of people there.
Good, thank you. Nice advertisement.
Yeah,
well, and
that's
I have
what we
a,
do.
And I have a question for you as well, Sister. What about folks that would like to send you a card or a note or something like that occasionally after you're over at the Mother House? How would they get in touch with you?
I'm trying to think if it's in a phone book. I presume it is. It's St. Francis Convent, Springfield, Illinois, and they'd have to look up the current address because I'm not sure.
Okay,
where that is.
We'll make Mark do that.
Yeah.
Sister Shamanad Kelly, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sister, it's been
Godspeed.
Lovely.
Thank you. It's been my privilege to be here. Thank you very much for including
me. We're thrilled you could be here, and we'll keep you in our prayers, and we'll ask our listeners also to keep Sister Sham in her prayers.
And thank you for your vocation and all your service to so many of us who have been patients here over the years.
Amen.
It's just my response, so praise the Lord.
Indeed.
This is the Cradle and the Convert on WDCR. We'll be back right after
this. Hi, I'm Catherine Smith, and this is one of my favorite prayers. The prayer for your day. Is anybody happier because you passed this way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to them today? The day is almost over, and its toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a kindly word of you? Can you say tonight, in parting with the day that's slipping past, that you helped a single person of the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does the one whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste the day or use it? Was it well or sorely spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think that God will say, you have earned one more tomorrow by what you did today?
WDCR now presents Bishop Thomas John Pepperocki's column from September 17, 2017.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Article 6 of the United States Constitution mandates that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust. Despite this prohibition on making one's religious beliefs a basis for appointment to governmental office in the United States, Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois either is not aware or chose to ignore this basic principle of the United States Constitution in his questioning of Amy Coney Barrett, a law professor at Notre Dame Law School, in the Senate Judiciary Committee's hearing on Professor Barrett's nomination to serve as a federal judge on the United States Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, based in Chicago. In his line of questioning on September 6, 2017, Senator Durbin asked Professor Barrett,
do you consider yourself an Orthodox Catholic?
This question does not address any particular legal or moral issue, but focuses squarely on her religion. Whether Professor Barrett is an Orthodox Catholic or an unorthodox Catholic or any kind of Catholic is totally irrelevant to a person's qualifications to serve as a federal judge, and in my opinion, it was unethical and unconstitutional for Senator Durbin to make her religious beliefs a test for public office. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California also found Professor Barrett's Catholic faith objectionable, telling Professor Barrett during the hearing,
when you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
The big issues, of course, about which Senator Feinstein and Senator Durbin disagree with Orthodox Catholic dogma are abortion rights and same-sex marriage. The founders of our country were very concerned that religious beliefs not be used as a basis for determining qualification to serve in public office in the new nation, precisely because many of them had fled from religious persecution in the old country. Yet here we are in the 21st century with politicians showing no qualms about asking a candidate for a federal judgeship about her religious beliefs in a hearing to determine her suitability to receive Senate confirmation for public office. In contrast to this disturbing line of questioning from these United States senators, it was encouraging to see a guest column in the September 1, 2017 issue of the Wall Street Journal entitled, "How Catholics Can Welcome LGBT Believers," written by Cardinal Robert Serra, Prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments at the Vatican. Cardinal Serra accurately summarizes church teaching about homosexuality, saying, quote, "In her teaching about homosexuality, the Church guides her followers by distinguishing their identities from their attractions and actions. First, there are the people themselves, who are always good because they are children of God. Then there are same-sex attractions, which are not sinful if not willed or acted upon, but are nevertheless at odds with human nature. And finally, there are same-sex relations, which are gravely sinful and harmful to the well-being of those who partake in them. People who identify as members of the LGBT community are owed this truth in charity, especially from clergy who speak on behalf of the Church about this complex and difficult topic," end of quote. Noting that to love someone as Christ loves us means to love that person in the truth, Cardinal Serra proposes that the best way to welcome LGBT believers is to heed the voices of Christians who have discovered peace and joy by living the truth of the gospel. Pope Francis has also spoken recently concerning the importance of speaking the truth about marriage. In a book-length interview with French journalist Dominique Walton, released on September 6th, entitled "Pope Francis, Politics and Society, Conversations with Dominique Walton," Pope Francis said, and I quote, "What can we think of marriage between people of the same sex? Matrimony is a historical word. Always in humanity, and not just in the Church, it was a man and a woman. It's not possible to change it. It is part of nature. That's how it is. Let us call it then civil unions. Let us not play with truths," end of quote. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." He also said, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." May God give us this grace. Amen.
You can read Bishop Paprocki's column in the Catholic Times, or you can go to the website and read or listen to previous columns. Mark and I will be right back with the preview of the gospel right after this. Come and join the 2017 Share Walk for Remembrance and Hope on Saturday, October 14th at 9 a.m. in Nelson Park, Pavilion 2. Share Walk commemorates the lives of babies lost in miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant death. Share Walk along Decatur Lakeshore will include a memorial service to remember our babies. Each child's name will be read, and also to celebrate each life, no matter how long or short. As we gather together to walk in honor of our babies, we keep the memories alive and offer to support one another. Whether a recent loss or one that occurred several years ago, we encourage parents and loved ones to walk the steps our babies will never take. Registration must be made by September 15th. For more information about the Share Walk, call HSHS St. Mary's Hospital Spiritual Care Office at 464-2045. That's 464-2045. The Share Walk is a walk to remember, Saturday, October 14th at 9 a.m. at the Nelson Park, Pavilion Number 2. Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, sitting here with Mark Barthelemy, and Mark is going to give us a preview of next Sunday's gospel. Mark?
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off, and he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, they each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And upon receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mark, I like the last part of that the best.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I had an uncle, after my father was my role model, my Uncle
yes,
Jim.
Yes, absolutely.
And my Uncle Jim never seemed to be a religious person.
Right.
And it wasn't until toward the end of his life, he had a brain tumor and
right.
was dying, that he was ministered to by a friend of ours he ran a mega church here in town.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of his life, my uncle sent a letter to all the family members about how good Jesus is and how he'd accepted Jesus and how his reward for accepting Christ at the end of his life, I feel, is every bit of what anyone's reward that's been there their whole life, because it's where you are in the moment.
That's right.
And if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior when you're in junior high or high school and continue down that path, your reward will be great. But if you accept him at the end of your life, your reward will be the same. You know, heaven is going to be heaven.
Yeah, and I have thought occasionally, I'm not obsessed with it, but occasionally I think about my afterlife. And, you know, I'm not so egotistical or presumptuous to think I'm going to be swept up and assumed at the moment of death.
Yeah.
I would love for that to happen, but I suspect I'll be probably in purgatory for a good while.
Well, Mark, I've always said, just give me a broom closet
yeah.
in purgatory.
Yeah.
And I know eventually I'll be perfected enough to
right.
make it into heaven. I don't know if it'd be perfected enough. Perfect is perfect. But,
right.
But what Jesus is saying in this parable is that it doesn't really matter when.
Exactly.
As long as you have the stick-to-itiveness
right.
and finish the job, that
Precisely.
Your reward will be great in heaven.
Precisely. And it's not going to bother me that someone who doubted up until the minute that they met their earthly demise and then said, "Lord, I love you, forgive me," and they zoom right up, that's fine with me.
Well, and I think we pray for that. In so
Absolutely.
Many cases, I've had friends that have died untimely deaths that I have just prayed and prayed about. I hope they were able to make their peace with God, because some of them either didn't believe in God or didn't care to believe in God or didn't live a virtuous life,
yeah.
like you and I do.
Yeah, right. I try.
But, you know, that's what we pray for, that
right.
their reward will be as great as anyone's in heaven.
You know, Dave, I have to share this with the listeners, because when your uncle was passing, and I it seems to me like it was about a week before his passing, we were all in the hospital room because he was a great mentor to me as well. Mm-hmm. And the minister you were speaking of was kind of talking about when the moment came that he passed. And he said something I've never forgotten, and I think of this often. He said, "You know, Jim," he said, "when you pass," he said, "many people think they're going to be lonely. They're going to be missing their family, and they're going to be worried and concerned and feel this horrible separation." And he said, "But there, it's important to remember, in heaven, there is no time or space." And he said, "It's not like it is here, where we're watching our wristwatch or the clock on the wall, or we have appointments, or we have this. There is no time." And he said, "There is no space, no distance." And he said, "So when you get there," he said, "you're going to turn around, and we'll all be there."
Yeah.
"We will all be there. You won't be without us, because there is no time." And, yeah. And you know, at first I thought, what? And I spent a lot of time after that.
I think about that too, Mark.
Yeah.
There is no time, so, I mean, it's all the now up there.
That's right. Now, the rest of us left behind.
Yeah, we're struggling through time,
aren't we? Oh, my gosh. Well, we're a prisoner of time. Our lives are a prisoner of time, and it's so hard to relate to, but I thought, what a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time for the...
Are you serious?
We've got a couple minutes left.
Oh, okay, good.
I don't know if there's... You got any community calendar stuff over there?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to go look. Can you pardon me a moment?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay, so what you got?
Well, I've got WDCR, Catholic Radio, 88.9, 96.5. That's us, you know.
Yeah, that's us.
It says free movie. What is Irreplaceable, the name of the movie about?
It's a movie about the deterioration of the family.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
You've seen it?
No, but I talked to Carlos about it.
Oh, I see.
It's going to be at St. Pat's.
So you had some inside info, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, every member of the human race has the desire for significance. The desire to belong, and the family is where those deepest belongings are fulfilled. Unfortunately, the word family has all but lost its meaning in our modern cultural landscape, and the fallout has been significant. Divorce, crime, poverty, addictions, abuse, our attempts to redefine and reimagine the family only make these problems worse, not better. When the family is weakened, society suffers, but strong families make the world a better place. Thursday, Dave, September 28th at 6:30 p.m. in St. Patrick Church basement, the movie Irreplaceable will be shown.
All right. Hey, I want to remind everybody that the Life Chain, the Right to Life for Macon County Life Chain, will be held on Sunday, October 1st from 2:30 to 3:30. And this usually goes on in front of the Civic Center and St. Patrick's Church. Last year, there were almost 300 participants.
Yeah.
You know, don't you have an hour to stand for life? You know, take a sign, stand out there, and let people know what you believe in. Remember that old song, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything?
Yep, there you go.
Now, let's see if we can get out and support that Life Chain on Sunday, October 1st at 2:30 in the afternoon. Also coming up in October on the 14th is the Share Walk. The Share Walk, to remember, takes place during National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month in October and commemorates the lives of babies lost due to miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant death. That kicks off at Nelson Park, Pavilion 2. For more information, call 217-464-2045, 464-2045. That's the here at St. Mary's, the Office of Pastoral Care. And, Mark, I think that's all I've got for the community calendar, too. And we're down to the last few seconds here, and it's time to pray.
All right. How about St. Michael?
I really
feel that one today, so let's do it.
Let's do it.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That's all we have for this week on The Cradle and the Convert. Join us next week when we will have Joan Kaufman, the new CEO of Decatur HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, as our guest to talk about her dreams and visions for St. Mary's. Ultimately, our boss, if you think about it, Mark.
That's right.
The station is here in the basement.
And our host. We don't want to forget, not just the boss, she is a host.
She is. Okay, so join us then, folks. For Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, this is The Cradle and the Convert on Decatur Catholic Radio. God bless you all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.